fit young Australians and Olympic Brazil nuts. It's that time again. Time to down the tools and grab a fistful of golden glory on the Mardi Gras of medals. With those two champions of the podium, rampaging Roy Slaven and H.G. Nelson. H.G.
Yes, thanks very much indeed. Jumpin' Jai, the centimetre guy in the soundproof booth. Welcome to Day 10 in Rio. Welcome to Silver Bullet Day. And welcome to the Herb Elliott Stadium here, where it's absolutely electric with the women's 400 metres about to be decided. You may hear in our call Bruce and Tamsin, who are sitting alongside us here in the Herb Elliott Stadium, and they may bleed into our coverage. But before I get to that, welcome rampaging Roy Slaven. A day of absolute drama here in Rio. Thunderstorms, bushfires, the downpours, cyclonic winds. It's had everything. Some of your highlights, please, Squire.
Yes, thank you very much, H.G. Nelson. Another wonderful day here in Rio. Couple of things, H.G. I noticed a comment of Kate Bronte, one of the Bronte sisters, Campbell sister. Kate Bronte has said, obviously she said, please love me back. Well, it goes without saying. But she went on to say that her performance was the biggest choke in Olympic history, and went on to say that we can't handle the nerves, or she can't. That is Kate Bronte. And I'm wondering if it's time to call in the Great White Shark as an advisor.
Couldn't he choke, Roy?
Well, no one knows choking like the Great White Shark.
He'd be able to spot it.
Yeah.
He could spot it if it was happening on Mars.
I know. No one does choking better than the shark. So I'll just put that out there. And I hope that somebody is listening. Usain Bolt, that is the man they call the greatest. And talk of him being an immortal. More about that later, maybe, but it gets up my nose. I wonder how Chang'e Langlands and the Chook feel about Usain Bolt being considered an immortal. Anyway, he's unhappy only having had an hour and 20 minutes between the semi-final and the final. Normally it's 2 hours, but because of television commitments, they brought it forward a little bit, and that's why he says the time was a little bit slow for all runners. Clancy and Borden denied success going down to the United States. That's in the beach volleyball. And Anna Mears, of course, has bowed out, but you can't take that bronze away from her. Remember, she got that bronze. And Edwina Tops Alexander and the great Linti Tequila are in terrific shape in the show jumping with a flawless performance in their first outing.
And, Roy, just a couple of bits of housekeeping before we go on. Albany is the home of the snake run. People picked me up on my pronunciation yesterday.
Oh, you said Albany. I didn't want to. Yeah,
I know. You did the right thing there.
I did.
You did the right thing. You walked away from it with elegance.
I did.
Just left me with egg.
Yep.
Anyway, Albany, and of course the agriculture around there is just fantastic. And when we call agriculture, we know what they're growing.
Oh, yeah.
It's just magnificent. That climate, that subtropical climate.
Oh, they're growing Acapulco gold there, aren't they? Or is it Panama gold, or is it Black Russian?
Now, and we send our best wishes to ABC commentator Jimmy Maxwell, who's unfortunately in a bit of trouble with his health, we understand. And, Jim, I hope you're feeling better, and I hope the 400 metres women's final cheers you up.
Yep.
And it's all the poorer for you not being there. This is the Mardi Gras of medals.
Higher, faster, longer. That's the secret of golden success on the Mardi Gras of medals. Roy and HG.
And the 400 metres underway, Roy. What a fantastic race. Pity there's not more people here to see it.
Yeah.
You counted the crowd just before.
18.
18.
18 people.
18 people here to see an Olympic final of this calibre. It's a fantastic quality. It looks like Sean Miller from the Bahamas is out in front, taking it hard on the bend there. And on the inside, it might be Natasha Hastings with the terrific lipstick. I think you described it as a Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift-style lipstick. Yeah.
And Shauna Miller has an excellent position coming into the straight now. The other American runners looked on the inside there, appear to be gaining on her. That might be Allison Felix coming through on the inside. It looks like, could the Bahamas hang on
here? The Bahamas are going to hang on here, Rachel.
Oh!
She fell over.
Is that allowed?
That is allowed, I think. She fell over first. She fell over first.
Is that what you're saying?
That's how I'm calling it. You don't have to be on your feet to finish. You can finish any way you can. You just got to get your party over that line. And she did. She died.
Wow, that was amazing. You don't often see that.
No.
Somebody trying to kill themselves to win a gold.
I know. Miller.
That was fantastic.
Miller.
drama, just the one we picked it up when we did.
Wow.
I mean, I would have felt as though he cheated the Aussie public.
Yeah.
If we hadn't called that race, that was just magnificent. I hope she's okay.
Yeah, she looks all right. The other colleagues are coming over to pick her up now.
And they sort of say, oh, yeah, it's great.
Now, the other thing I noticed about Miller.
Who's following the result here for us, please?
Well, I'm telling you now, Miller has won, but... The other thing about Miller is she looks as if she hasn't been arrested at any stage.
No, that's true. That's true. But she may...
Tat-free.
There's no suggestion of, falling foul of the law here in Rio. One of the other runners, though, has definitely been caught by the cops doing something and does appear to have a Bruce tattooed on her.
Yes, I saw that.
Earlier, with
the red shirt.
And the way it's hard to tell from our position here because we haven't seen the times yet or anything.
God, no. People are confused. They don't know what's going on.
Can I point out that this is a... Do you think at, say, 2 centimetres off the ground that the electronic beam, which now is the way they measure all these things, is actually operating?
Look, I think it does. You'll notice some of them still thrust their heads forward to try and get part of their bodies over the line ahead of the others. You've noticed that. Well, she did the whole thing. She dived, which was brilliant.
I know.
She dived.
You think this is going to be part of it?
Well, I hope so. It's an interesting variation of how to finish.
We've got a replay here, Roy, which might be worth looking at. We think Bahamas, as called.
The Bahamas girl has won, the woman,
And we haven't got a time yet. Now they're coming around here. Bahamas well in the lead here. Yeah.
It looked to me to be about 53, 54.2, somewhere around there. But outside the world record, which I think is 52.1.
She combines 400 metres with a long jump. The first time in history we've seen this happen. Yep. America gaining on the inside. Bahamas sees the problem up on the big screen.
And dives.
And decides to leap for goal. Now, is the front hand the thing?
The front hand is what is the first thing ever.
It's going to revolutionise running.
I know.
This running caper.
Yep.
Aussies will be doing it soon and winning gold.
Yep.
Leaping for the line as we watch again in replay. This is the most dramatic climax to a 400-metre race I've ever seen in my life.
That's right.
The American gaining on the inside, the
Felix
runner,
is coming
Miller
down on
Bahamas,
Miller.
Sees the problem and then just leaps miles. What a by mile.
Yeah. Yeah. And it gave her a victory by well over a metre.
How must Felix feel?
Felix must feel a goose for not having had the courage to dive.
Look at it there in the dramatic indication where the hands are the thing that passes first.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
And she still hasn't got up, which I like.
Roy and HG, thanks to Harvey Norman. Look and feel your best with a full range of personal grooming products.
And so the results in the 400 metres for women in most dramatic fashion. Miller from the Bahamas first. Mm. Second was Felix from the United States and third, Jackson from Jamaica. Roy, you had a word to Bruce during the break.
Bruce has never seen a dive like that before and he does think like Tamsin Lewis. And I agree with Tamsin on this. I mean, no one knows like Tamsin. That diving might actually become a very popular, might become the way of finishing. Now, you've got to time your dive. You might be able to dive from 5 or 6 metres out. I mean, you'd launch yourself from maybe 7 or 8 metres out. I mean, it really is going to change the whole way we look at the way races are finished.
And do you think it was deliberate, Roy?
Yes,
from,
I do.
You know,
I do.
Miller?
I do.
You
I do. Is it cheating? I don't know.
No, fair.
There's nothing in the rules that says you can't dive. Nothing.
Other highlights here today, Roy.
Well, we've
magnificent
seen
highlights.
Aussie action. Lauren Wells. She missed out on the semis in the 400 hurdles. Unfortunately, she came fourth, I think, and that only the first three are going through. Danny Samuels is into the discus semi after a pretty shaky start. I think you pointed this out to me that she'd thrown the first discus into the net, which is not a good look, not a good start.
Rain was a big problem during the early part.
Slippage
is your enemy in the discus.
Yeah, I know it is. And, of course, Brandon Stark is into the high jump final, which is fantastic for Australian track and field. And Brandon Stark, we should point out, is Mitchell Stark's brother.
And the 800 metres, Roy, for men, that was a wonderful race won by the Kenyan in a very easy fashion.
Yeah, no diving.
No diving.
No
They're
need
dull.
To dive.
Now these events are going to be dull, just running around and staying in the perpendicular, so to speak. We want to see everybody come in horizontal.
That's right. We'll see people diving much in the manner of, say, football players scoring a try.
This is the Rio Rumba. A sultry swivelling of the hips on the Mardi Gras of medals. With H.G. Nelson and rampaging Roy Slaven.
And Roy, this swimming probe that you called for yesterday seems to be gathering momentum. I noticed you had George Brandis on your speed dial there. You've been able to get through to the Attorney General. He's thinking about putting, say, maybe $37 million aside for this probe. Mm-hmm. What worries me at the moment is we seem to be besieged here in Rio, in the Herb Elliott Stadium, by all sorts of comments from people as diverse as Michael Phelps.
Yes, everyone's got an attitude and opinion of the
Australian swimming team.
Australian swimming team,
all of
I
a
know.
Sudden.
Yeah.
He says he believes it's coaching and officials problem. They weren't mentally ready. They need to address whether they'd overlooked that crucial element in the Rio preparations.
Yeah.
He then goes on to say, I don't know, I've no idea what happened, but they have talent. We've seen that. Obviously, some of the coaches in the National Committee have to figure out what's going on.
Yes.
Now, Bill Sweetnam.
Well, they're wise words, aren't they, from Phelps?
Well, when Phelps talks, people listen.
I know.
That's the problem.
I know.
I mean, it'd be different if it was just somebody like Duncan Armstrong or Laurie Lawrence. Nobody
yes.
care what Aussies thought about the team.
Sure.
They think they're just idiots.
Yeah, that's right. Is it worth getting Phelps in to talk to our team, maybe?
Well, how about Phelps presenting, you know, evidence at the Royal Commission?
Yeah, okay.
I think it's Hayden Dyson. And,
yes.
Or Dyson Hayden.
Dyson Hayden.
And Hayden Dyson.
Yep. Well, if they're both doing it, that's even better.
And Brian Martin making up the third prong of the probe.
Sure.
Now,
I think Phelps should be flown to Australia to give evidence. Sure. Why not? Why not? We've got to reach everywhere. If anyone's willing to put their hand up, people who know swimming, Phelps knows swimming. I'll tell you what, he doesn't know much about much else, but he knows a lot about swimming.
Guess does.
Yeah.
Now, Bill Sweetnam, former head Australian coach, he's weighed in. He said the problem lies with the leadership of Swimming Australia. John Bertrand, Mark Anderson are honourable people. They should do the honourable thing and stand down.
Yeah.
Normal practice after a tilt like this. You said high expectations. Mm. Every athlete that went to the Olympic Games felt they had to achieve a minimum of 8 gold medals and probably expectation was 10.
Gee.
This time it's not the athletes. This is not an athlete. This is Sweetnam talking.
Sweetnam, yeah.
This is not an athlete issue. It's a leadership issue.
Yes.
Poorly managed. Nerves. Goes back and revisits the leadership, you know, obviously problem, allowing swimmers to break records a month from the Olympics. The manager's saying, you know, perfect preparation. You can't put yourself under that pressure. The Bronte sisters, perfect example of swimmers doing really well outside of Rio. The psychologists and media managers got it wrong. They proved that.
Yeah.
Some of our athletes were happy socialising and inexperienced media people were saying, look how relaxed they are. Look how happy they are.
Yeah.
And then they didn't win a bloody thing.
No, oh, that's right. That's
then
right.
We come to this... more focused down on the Bronte sisters. Kate Bronte, no, she's stuffed up, but she's been shouldering with Grace. A moment when she genuinely seared by the fallout from a failure, this is according to Sarah Blake, to win an individual medal despite huge expectations on the world record holder, sitting alone late at night after winning some redemption and steering the women to the 4x100 medley. She finally took her phone out and turned it on for the first time in 2 weeks. I was terrified.
Yeah.
She imposed a social media ban, but instead of a barrage of criticism, she expected for a shock failure in the 100 metres, there was nothing but support.
Yeah.
I think...
people want to reach out.
Reach out, exactly right.
Because people realised something was wrong with the Bronte sisters.
Fundamentally wrong.
I mean, they weren't the Campbell Bronte and the Kate Bronte we've come to love and know.
No. Would you subpoena her phone records for the inquiry?
I certainly would. But if she says that her phone wasn't turned on for 2 weeks, I believe her. I believe her. But the thing is, she wasn't it the big-footed one, Ian Thorpe?
Ian Thorpe, yes.
The torpedo.
Yes.
Who knows one or two things. He knows where he is in a pool. Wasn't
and
he the one
is.
That advised them just to bloody enjoy themselves?
Oh, well, that's
have
good.
Fun?
That was the first thing that went for a Burton.
Yeah, I know, but when he had the Thorpe mentality, we had gold on that first day.
Well, we had Kyle Chalmers. He appeared to be enjoying himself.
Yes, and the Bronte sisters in that first race.
Oh, yeah, the 4x100 women's relay.
Yeah, everything was tickety-boo at that stage. But then Bertrand comes in with his his red boat talk.
I know, I think it all went horribly wrong when Bertrand came on board.
Whoa, if anyone knows how to sink a boat, it's Bertrand.
Australia won, we rest our case. Now, Campbell Bronte said that she'd been waking up for the past few days from a dream in which she had a bad swim. It's hard to explain to people what it's like.
Mm.
I put in this sort of work, you know, swimming work for nearly 20 years and it comes down to 60 seconds.
Yeah.
I was overwhelmed. Nobody is more disappointed than myself. And to think people still want to know me, even though I failed on the world's greatest stage, really speaks volumes for Aussies.
Mm.
The fact that everyone has said I didn't let them down, I made them proud, has meant so much. Now, can that be a building block?
Yeah. Can I say I don't believe that? I mean, when Aussies are reaching out and saying, well, listen, Campbell, you didn't let us down. I mean, that's madness. They did let us down, surely.
The romance of Rio continues with the Carnival of the Rings on the Mardi Gras of Medals. Roy and HG.
Yes, Roy, look, people have been texting us here all morning, or, you know, it's obviously night here in Rio, but morning in Australia, concerning news reports about the runabouts of our teams, you know, climaxing with this terrible news that, dare I say it, New Zealand, the All Black Sticks, have beaten our Hockey Roos 4-2.
Yeah,
now, I don't mind, obviously reporting things, you know, the Brodie sisters not doing well in the pool.
Yeah.
And it has to be recorded for the purposes of history that some of our teams have lost. But that giving scores out, I think, is un-Australian.
Yes.
Un-Australian.
Yeah. Oh, well, see, I that result concerning the Shaky Isles, I didn't see. I didn't deem as newsworthy. I didn't deem it newsworthy for obvious reasons. Mm-hmm. The less said about it, the better. I think that's one of those things that you just, you leave alone. You walk away.
Or you could simply...
Nothing to look at here.
Exactly. Oh, move on. Australia played New Zealand in the hockey. If you want to know, have a look yourself.
Yeah.
Plenty of athletes will give it to you.
Yeah, cool.
We don't have to be part of that un-Australian activity. Beyond the good news, of course, the first of the great Olympic memorabilia is out. It's simply called the Golden Gun. An official memorabilia in conjunction with the AOC, that's Coetzee's lot, is proud to celebrate Catherine Skinner reaching the pinnacle of Olympic endeavour, winning gold in the women's trap here in Rio. Mm-hmm. Officially licensed by Coates and independently authenticated by an ATAG, this captures Skinner's historic achievement, a must-have for anybody with the Olympic spirit. Now, let's have a look at what you get. Obviously, it commemorates Skinner's gold, personally signed by Catherine, presented in a deluxe timber frame to archival standards, as seen on Antiques Roadshow. Mm-hmm. Design incorporates a collection of action and celebrative images of her historic achievement.
Wow.
There's a bit of gunpowder built into the lithograph.
Wow. Wow.
There's a box of bullets comes with it. The approximate frame dimensions are 8 metres by 5 metres, so you need a sizable games room to have it.
Yes.
It's officially a license endorsed by John Coates, who signed every one of them on the back, accompanied by the Certificate of Authenticity with the Antiques Roadshow approval, independently authenticated by ATAG. Roy?
Wow.
It's a hell of a thing to have.
Yeah.
Are you getting one?
Yeah, well, of course I'm going to get one. How much are they? About $400, something like that?
$400.
Does that include P&H?
Probably not, no.
No, okay.
I think the P&H on these is pretty pricey, pretty excellent.
Yeah, right, okay.
But on the other hand, you know, if you're a souvenir of these games.
What a great thing to have on your wall.
And get this, there's a tiny bit of gold dust in every one.
Wow.
The bullets, the gold dust, the frame, the authentication.
Yeah. Now, the bullets, they replication.
Exactly the same as hers.
It's hers. Yeah. Ooh,
you know how all the bullets are built to individual
specifications? Yeah.
Well, this is an incredible thing.
I mean,
now,
they just don't go into a bloody gun shop service station and get a box of bullets. They don't. They have them specially made.
That's right. It'd be madness to do that. Those bullets would be, you know, like you'd be like down at a shooting gallery with ducks going around.
Yeah, that's
the
right.
The gun. You'd have a much opus in them. No, these are beautifully built with that wide dispersing, etc.
Look, is this the thin edge of the wedge? Are we going to get a lot of memorabilia?
Indeed.
When are the Bronte sisters going to put their book out? That's coming out soon, isn't it? Wasn't there talk of, I don't know, Pride and Pool?
The colour, the movement, the magic, and a million Cordaloos. This is Rio. This is the Mardi Gras of Middles with Roy and HG.
Yes, and Renaud Lavillenie from France has just cleared 597 in the poll. But Da Silva from Brazil is going to have a crack at 597, which is an Olympic record, a new Olympic record, and the next level they go to is 603.
Wow, that's uncharted territory.
That's, you know, off this planet.
Yeah.
603. Mm. Now, Roy,
couldn't Steve Hooker, wasn't he our most elegant and successful pole vaulter?
Well, he owned the pole for a long time. No one could grip it. Grip a pole like Steve.
No.
And when he planted it, when he slotted it.
Stayed stuck, didn't it?
It did. Yep. And it just, the pressure on, you know, I don't know why he wasn't nicknamed Skylab because he was really
up
there.
He was right up there, wasn't he? I mean, I don't think he had any world records, but it was just his style. He looked as if he should have. You know? I'm not saying he didn't give it his best. He did. I bumped into him, HG, in the edge chill out zone. just last night.
Did you? Yes. He's calling here with Paddy Welsh, I think.
That's right. He is.
Just not far from us. Obviously, we're next to Bruce and Tamsin, and they packed up for the night, and they've left it to, you know, obviously, Steve and Paddy to bring it home.
Yeah. Terrific teams, aren't they?
Yeah. How'd you get on with Steve?
Steve, it was great to bump into him because I hadn't seen him since Athens.
And he's a grip on the pole still.
Yeah, he can still grip it.
Yeah.
He was taking me through his grip last night. It only took about an hour and a half. You know, it was interesting all the way. You know, sure, I dozed off for a little while, but came back in time to nod and say, that's great. I'll see you in the morning.
Now, Roy, speaking of the edge, the Australian... Well,
have you spent much time in the edge?
No, I haven't.
The chill-out zone, just for Aussies?
Just for Aussies. Look, I haven't. Basically because I'm fairly busy here.
Yeah, I know.
You know, like, I mean, they asked us to go and help fight the fires, which I thought was a bit hard, but I was happy to lend a hand.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a dab hand with a knapsack spray.
Sure,
the modern gear leaves me a bit, you know, I'm not up to speed. Not ticketed.
No.
On the pressure hoses and stuff like that. Can drive the truck okay and things like that. So we got it, you know, as I know you did.
Yeah. Any idea who might have lit them?
No, somebody from the crew, I think. Now, when we come to the edge, the chill-out zone, it appears that this is a place that our swimmers have been, you know, because let's face it, the swimming's over.
Yeah.
Nothing to do, so they're off to the rooftop bars, Copacabana, VIP, shindigs, a lot of, you know, sort of getting a taste of the Brazilian nightlife, the Rio nightlife. You know, they sometimes go out with the US swimmers.
Right.
A lot to talk about there, disappointment, you know, pride and pool, when it'll be out.
Show us your medal, that sort of thing.
That's right. You know, low-key really is what it is because of this problem with, you know, not being able to go to the beach anymore. For instance, Emily Seabomb's keen equestrian woman was hoping to get along to see some of the dressage. I'd love to go out to Rio, see the sights. And I've heard that the men's basketball is on at 7 p.m. So if I'm standing by tonight, I'd love to get along to see that.
Okay. Well, there's no reason why you go. I mean, that's the thing about those. I mean, when you go to the chill-out zone, you've got that bulletin board there with where all the Aussies are at any time.
And tickets.
Yeah.
Lots of tickets.
Yep.
Now, today, of course, there's, I think, two events, the cross-country for horses and the dressage.
Yeah.
And I'm always amazed by how much these horses cost. Apparently, $100 million of horses will be in action today, including the superstar horse, Vallegro, who will keep company.
Did Vallegro make it? I wasn't sure.
Yeah, he's here.
Vallegro's here.
Yeah. And he can keep company with Kevin Durant, as Serena Williams and Rafael Nadal, with an estimated price tag of $30
million. Wow.
Australian.
Wow. Is it a gelding HG or?
No. I think he's fairly old.
It's entire?
Pretty sure he's entire.
Good. I suppose it wouldn't be as valuable if he wasn't entire.
He wouldn't.
Is there any talk of him
putting in?
Yeah.
I think so. Okay. I think so. Look, it's hard to imagine what makes the horse worth these amounts of money. Mm. The star dressage horse and rider, Charlotte Dujardin, are looking to defend their Olympic title in Rio and compete against a range of horses from around the globe worth, wait for it, they start at 400,000. They top out at 15 million, of course, apart from, you know, Vallegro.
Vallegro's at 30 million.
Top range show jumping horses at the Olympics range between 700,000 and 15 million.
Wow.
Australia's champion rider, Edwina Tops Alexander, will compete on Linti Tequila worth an estimated 7.5 million. Now, who pays for this?
I don't know.
Is this part of the budget that the...
Is this part of our Olympic budget? Is Coetzee writing the cheque for this one? So, how does it work? Edwina Tops Alexander knocks on the door. Hello, John. Come on in. Yeah, listen, I want to use Lintea Tequila. How much? 7.5 mil. Cheap. Get it. Is that how it works?
I suppose so. He sends a text. We'll have it.
Yeah.
You know, now... Yeah. A big concern for the horses in Brazil is the fatal Glanders disease.
Oh, I hate that.
Strict protocols in place to ensure it doesn't, and other diseases, don't get into the Olympic venue. There was a Glanders scare on site last year, as it was a former military base, but it was cleared out soon after that.
Yeah.
Trucks have to enter, wait for this, through disinfectant baths, and all horses and humans must walk through the baths as well to get to the stables.
Wow.
To get into the country in the first place, the horses had to be passed disease-free and fully vaccinated. Mm. Even their feed, equipment and gear has to be sprayed and sanitised.
Wow.
World-class vets on site. If a horse got sick, away they'd go.
Yeah.
They'd probably top it straight away. Look, it's too expensive, I think, to believe.
Yeah. Now, that Glanders disease, have you ever seen a horse with Glanders disease? They go weird. They want to drive cars.
This is the sweetest sound. Roy and HG. It's a Mardi Gras of medals.
And Thiago da Silva has just cleared 6:03, which is halfway to the moon, in the pole vault here in the Herb Elliott Stadium at Rio in the games of the 2016 Olympiad. Roy, that's a great clearance there.
I've never seen anything like it. That's the best. And in front of your home crowd, not that there are many here, 18 people, I think we said. But even those 18, they're never going to forget it.
They're never going to forget it. And they're up out of their seats.
Yep.
And, of course, Breno Lavallin has hit the 6:03 mark.
Yeah.
And there is a chance that the pole will go to Brazil.
Brazil, yeah.
Gold. Now,
Who said the Brazilians could pole vault? I mean, what's that about?
I know.
It's like the Dutch swimmers and bloody Italian runners.
Or shotgun
the world's gone mad.
Or shotgun being taught in Corowa High School. It's an education revolution that's passed. Now, Steve Hooker said, though, and this is a fascinating insight into Steve, you know, sure, it's about the grip, but he's got to put more, Lavallin has to put more energy into the pole.
Yes. Yes, that, he was talking about this last night at the Edge.
About 40 minutes in?
Yeah, about 40 minutes in. And once he started talking about, you know, getting energy into the pole, I had to say the science lost me. I just glazed over. That's probably when I dozed off, you know. Not that he noticed.
Now, emails, Roy. We've had some fantastic emails.
Look, Kirk Carparcel has been in touch, actually, with a fascinating email and one that's really got me thinking. He says, boys, you really got me thinking, which is a nice start. Had to expand the swimming medal table to include wood, tin and dung. Refer to the attached. So he's put the table here. Bottom line is that we as a swimming nation won more tin, wood and dung in the pool than we did gold, silver and bronze. Stand up, Australia, and be proud, he says.
Exactly.
He says, here are the facts. Gold 3, silver 4, bronze 3, total 10. Tin 3, wood 6, dung 4, total 13. Now, he's got the honour roll of tin, Mitch Larkin. Australia got tin in the men's 4x200 metres freestyle relay, and of course Campbell Bronte got tin, and Kate Bronte got wood. Mac Holton wood, Belinda Hocking wood, Alicia Coots wood, and in the dung Thomas Fraser Holmes. I'd forgotten that dung, but it was a good one. We've got Kate Bronte dung, Bronte Barrett dung, and Tamsin Cook dung. So we've got four dungers there, which is fantastic.
It's a hell of a record and beautifully set out here.
Mm.
That's the way to do an email, isn't it?
Yeah.
Roy, also, there's a suggestion here from Ian.
Yeah.
And by the way, before I come to Ian's email, remember, royandhg@triplem.com.au. That's royandhg@triplem.com.au is your email address. And, of course, Twitter, hashtag Mardi Gras medals, all one word. Now, he's suggesting that people maybe get involved now with the police so as they can get a free tattoo.
Well, that's true. That's been happening for years here in Rio, yeah.
Now, is the Phelps tattoo the going to be the most popular one?
Oh, the death stare.
The death stare.
Everyone's getting... Well, the two most popular tattoos at the moment in the village... Now, I got this at the Edge, the chill-out zone. Everyone was talking about it, apart from Steve Hooker, who was talking about... Well, you know what he's talking about. Anyway, the most popular tattoo is the Phelps death stare, followed by the Bruce McAvaney head with shirt.
I've seen a few head with shirt. In fact, as I nearly can tell, in the 400 metres women, a head with shirt, McAvaney head with shirt, was on the right arm.
Yeah, I saw that.
The gun on the right arm.
Yeah, and I thought, hello, here's someone who's been arrested.
Now, is this Brazil's Cathy Freeman moment here? I'm not sure what else, as in a gold medal in the hometown.
Oh, no, I think he's packed up the pole. He's won. He's got gold, and it is the Cathy Freeman moment. Yeah.
Isn't this great? He's the Brazilian, Thiago da Silva, has won gold in the pole vault, beating the Olympic and former...
World champion.
World champion. It's a hell of a jump, 6:03 metres.
Yeah.
That is a lot.
It is. Well, I think he got to the very edge of the apparatus. You couldn't go any higher because the apparatus doesn't go any higher.
So they're going to have to build bigger towers for the apparatus.
That's right, in future.
This is the Mardi Gras medals.
William HG. Now we ride. The Carnival of the Rings has never sounded sweeter.
And, of course, we have to pack up shop here, much in the manner the pole vault's been packed up shot as we watch in replay on the monitors here at the Herb Elliott Stadium on, a failure between pole, energy, grip...
Yeah.
Height, anything you like to name, and bar. Just not enough energy in
the
bowl.
No, that's French failure, isn't it?
It is. Now, but we look on to day 11, and there are reasons to be cheerful, Roy.
Look, okay, see, there's a lot going on. Yeah, Ellen Nelson is into the semi, the 200 metres, which is great. Remember, the Opals have got a medal chance. I think they're a real... I think they're going to get a medal, for sure. Just depends on what colour. The Boomers are a good medal chance. If not, at worst, dung. And
yeah,
that's not...
Oh, dung, yeah, that's right. You can't take that away from them.
You can't. No. You can't. And Denny Samuels, she is into the discus semi. And Edwina, of course, Edwina Tops Alexander is in the show jumping. So she had a perfect round the other night. I watched that with Tamsin Lewis and a few others, and we'd never seen jumping like it.
Yeah. And, Roy, the horses themselves, do you think our Australian horses have acclimatised well here in Brazil and they're getting the right sort of chaff and oats and all that sort of stuff?
I think so. I'm pretty happy with the way they're looking. Certainly they're trying. You know, they're really putting in, and they've got part of the Olympic spirit. Look, I bumped into a couple of horses at the edge of the chill-out zone the other night, and they didn't have anything to drink. Not a thing.
No.
You know, they were very disciplined, and no social media.
And any sign of the Rugby Sevens problem the other day? You know, people, you know, cutting amok and running amok and coming back, cutting the rug.
I'm sure it's going on, but we'll have to wait and have an examination of the tats to see how many people have been arrested by the police.
And that lovely story late here, which we can't really deal with today, but certainly apropos of this, Olympic diving duo splits after teammates' marathon sex sessions. Yeah, two Olympic divers have obviously decided
to falling out.
Had a falling out. Mm. One of them booted the roommate out,
yes.
So the partner could have late-night romp with another athlete, according to media outlets. Well, that can happen.
Well, of course it can happen. And I've always said, if you're going to do synchronised swimming, you've got to have synchronised sex.
Roy and HG for Harvey Norman. Look and feel your best with a full range of personal grooming products.